And you know, I hear ministers say, you know, we're no longer under the law.
Mm-hmm.
And that disturbs me unless they fully explain it.
Yeah.
And I've really not had, you know, heard of them really get into detail on fully explaining it. But as y'all can see that, we want to start off with Psalms 119. We said we was going to go there this week, so we're going to go there and start. And Ray said that there was a Psalms of David, and I'd read to where they're really not sure who wrote it, that it was written by David, Ezra, or Daniel. There's no clear author of it. But this psalm is the greatest of all psalms. Yeah. It's just a wonderful psalm. And it speaks very much about righteousness. Mm-hmm. And that's what's intrigued me to it. And you know, it's acrostics, we've said. It begins with a leaf and ends with a tav.
Yeah.
And it has eight verses to each one. But starting out, let's read this. It says 119:1, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Not the law of Moses, but in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and seek him with the whole heart. You know, Thurston is talking about the big old people get half-hearted and they'll go. You know, you know, we need to keep our hearts set on him, you know. They also do no iniquity that walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I have respect for all your commandments. You know, how many, Thurston and I was talking here a week or so ago, that ministers in the past that's failing, and it's really been a hard knock, you know, that they've just maybe deception of sin deceived them. And, you know, they just got in the ditch. But says, I will praise thee. I want to key in on this. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I have learned of thy righteous judgments. You know, this is a learning process, ain't it? You know, I know more now than I did 30 years ago when I first got born again, you know. And Ray is talking about the 15 and the 45. It says, I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly, but learning of his righteous judgments. You know, as we look at these, one thing I seen the other day, and it kind of thought, well, I thought to myself, well, I'm not going to write that down. But the more I got to thinking about it, is this one. This law of God was there before sin. I got thinking, now the law, you know, the Lord gave it to Moses. You know, there, you know, went up and the Lord wrote this law on stones, you know. I'm thinking, how could it been, eternal? How was it before sin? I got thinking about Satan, you know, when he fell. That pride rose up in his heart, and he said, I will be like the Most High God. So undoubtedly, he knew something about this, the law of God. He undoubtedly, you know, the Bible talks without knowledge of law, you know, wasn't imputed to man in the beginning, kind of until law come, but Satan, he had to know something of this law of God for him to be able, and God to be able to kick him out of heaven, you know. So I got to thinking on that. But we want to look at study on righteousness. And you know, Jesus said, take ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So undoubtedly, there's something great there for us. And there is. It's good food for us. It makes us grow in it. And the Lord himself is known as Jehovah Tsidkenu, or righteousness. And Psalms 85, you know, we're not here to to create our own righteousness, you know, that our righteousness is of him. Yeah. I mean, we want to walk in our righteousness, and it's of him. But, you know, some people go forth thinking, you know, if I obey the Ten Commandments, you know, I'll be righteous and establish my own righteousness without being born again, nothing like that. You understand what I'm saying? And they miss the mark. They missed the mark. Even if a man could, now nobody ever had until Jesus did, you know. By one man's sin, Adam, and then by one man's obedience, many were made righteous. Right? Ain't that what the word says? But even if a man could walk in the Ten Commandments and fulfill them, it still wouldn't be enough. Why is that? Because there's no sacrifice, no blood sacrifice. You remember, this being the a leaf, starting out, leaf means, you know, beginning. So we will look at Genesis there. In the beginning, you remember Cain and Abel. And the Bible says that Abel offered the right sacrifice. And what cried out from the ground after Cain, his brother, killed him? His righteous blood cried out because he offered the right sacrifice. And this sacrifice he offered, the scripture says, it was a blood offering, but he also offered the fat within that animal sacrifice too. And a fat offering in Scripture is a peace offering. It's a peace offering. But that takes us to over in Hebrews chapter 9, you know, Jesus said here on the earth, remember when he died on the cross? He said, it's finished. Well, yes and no. Don't throw no rocks at me. He had done his earthly service in a physical body. Yeah. But when he went to heaven, he applied that blood there also as a high priest. You know, Hebrews talks about him being a high priest. And you remember the high priest, they had to offer a bull. Instead of a lamb, they had to offer a bull slain outside the camp. Read the Old Testament, you know, you think, you know, why's all these laws and all? But this bull was offered outside the camp. Well, when Christ was here on earth, he was the Lamb of God slain for sins, right? Mm-hmm. Remember me talking about the stars telling the story? Well, you have the lamb first, and then comes the bull. Well, in this year, you have the bull falling in on Easter. But prior to that, the lamb, these signs and zodiacs. But anyway, had it been the dates falling like that then, when he was, remember he told the woman, touch me not, I've not yet ascended. But when he went into heaven, he stood before the Lord as a bull instead of a lamb that was slain. But all that, you know, makes sense. But righteousness, let me read you this on righteousness. It's Psalms 85. You know, his blood was put on the, you know, like in Moses, when they built all the stuff here on earth, you know, the, that they put the ark in, the, or put the tablets of stone in, the ark of the covenant, ark of covenant. You know, Moses, they built that, Lord told him, but it was like that in heaven too. So, yeah. So there's one in earth and one in heaven. But his, you know, what we was talking about earlier about the blood being applied to both. But Psalms 85, and let's start in verse 10. It says, mercy and loving kindness and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring forth from the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Do you hear that? Righteousness comes from heaven.
Yeah.
You know, so when the Lord did what he did in heaven, applied his blood there, then many, for his obedience, what he did here, many are made righteous.
Yeah.
So, it's a heaven and earth thing. It's a heaven and earth thing. And it says, yea, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall make his footsteps a way in which to walk. So we want to walk after righteousness, don't we? And the more we learn of it, the more we learn of his ways. And going back to, you know, what we just read there, those are written by God on tablets of stone.
Yeah.
And what was Ray talking about, he writes them in our hearts now.
Yeah.
We have a heart. Remember Jesus, he kind of took the big ten and he put them in the two, didn't he? He said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love him with all your heart, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's righteousness right
yeah.
there. And he's put it in our hearts to do that. And that's what we want to run after. Amen.
Yeah.
And as we studied this psalm, the psalms of him, I mean, this 119 is a psalm of describing him.
Mm-hmm.
And but anyway, we can learn how to walk in our righteousness and just grow. And in doing that, we learn how to love him more. You know, we see him for who he is, and we love him. And then we love our neighbor, too. You know, when we walk in righteousness, you know, under law, you know, when they brought the woman there that committed adultery, and they said, the law of Moses says this, but what do you say?
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, he said, he's that's no sin, cast the first stone. But, well, I kind of lost my train of thought there. But anyway, we run after righteousness. Righteousness is merciful to people. You know, the Bible says there, talks about when those that sin, you know, it says, you who are spiritual, you restore them. You don't take them out and throw them, you know. You restore those people. You know, I think about these ministers in the past that's fallen, and I hear their testimony, and they say, well, brother so-and-so come to me, or sister so-and-so, and restored them. And you know, a lot of them guys are back in the ministry today. I mean, they're not, some of them not as out front as they used to be, but they're still in ministry today. And because, you know, the Lord restored them. But that's what righteousness will do. So in this class, I won't let it be known, we're not studying righteousness to be any kind of self-righteousness of ourselves, but to learn where our righteousness comes from, and that it's of him, and we're going to walk in it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray, and I'll let Brother Thurston come on up and share some more of that good word.
I like how you said the law of God is not burdensome. And, it, you know, you want to do right when you, that's what it's all about.
It frees you. Let me, if I can find this, then you read this. And this was great right here, if I found this on the internet, but it ends up like this. It says, faith makes the Christian free, and by faith he maintains his freedom. This is a freedom not to sin. With faith goes obedience, for the Christian has a new relationship to the law. It is no longer his enemy, but his friend. It has become again the royal law, the law of liberty, James 2:8. He serves it in newness of spirit and not in oldness of letter. With Paul, he says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man, and with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. Do then we make void the law through faith? God forbid. We establish it.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Well, hope everybody's learned a little bit this morning.
Amen.
And let's pray. Father, we thank you this day for your love for us. We thank you for our righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that gift you've given us. And we praise you and we bless your name forever, O Lord. Amen. You know, while Thurston's coming, I want to say this too. You know, last week, Sister Mary was talking about the bride of Christ.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I got a scripture here too that that's what she is clothed in, righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's what the Lord clothes the righteousness.
Yeah. And that's, you know, you can feel it. Yeah, it's a blessing to be in right standards with God, and we know it by the peace. When I felt the peace of God for the first time, I got mad because I said I almost went to hell. I didn't know it was like this. I thought I was just going to say the prayer and I'd be right with God, and I wouldn't feel nothing. But I felt embraced. I felt the peace of God, and I said I was about to. I was about to go to hell, and I got mad because people didn't let me know. And I was angry. You know, I was really angry. I said, Lord, how come nobody told me it was like this? They didn't explain it, that I would feel your peace and your love like this. He said, the same enemy that hindered you from getting saved hindered them from telling you how good it is. Mm-hmm. And then I focused my anger where it's supposed to be, on Satan. And I said, Lord, I really wanted to do what was right. That was a big deal with me. You know, Christ wasn't formed in me yet. I was just saved. But I wanted to be like him. I wanted to represent him, and I wanted to do it right. But it's easy. I didn't know this then. All you have to do is love God, and it'll happen. love cherish his word, and receive his word. Christ will be formed in you, and you'll be strong. And your desire for God will be, you'll be stronger than your desire for the world. And it's kind of like, I used to wonder, why did God just make the people leave Israel? You know, the Canaanites. They had to drive them out. And it's the same thing. I learned this about a year ago, maybe 2 years ago. You have to drive out the world just like they had to drive out the Canaanites. We have the love of God, now we just drive out the world just like they had to drive out the Canaanites, and not leave them or let them hang around. And because if they let them hang around, they'd be like thorns in their side and smoke in their eyes. And that was Paul's thorn in the flesh. You know, everywhere he went, just like that damsel. These are the men of God. They show us the way, just mocking them, you know. They show us the way of salvation. Well, the lingering thoughts, the lingering habits, the lingering residue of the world, it's like a smoke in your eye. It's like thorns in your side. But you can, I found out, you can drive it out. And you can be rid of it. And you can live rid of it. And, you know, and you have the mastery to do it. So, life in the Holy Spirit, you know, as we follow Him, we grow from glory to glory. And, you know, I didn't know all this up front, but He got me. I wanted Him to teach me. So, over time, you know, we're still a work in progress. And as we grow from glory to glory, we minister and we bear fruit after our kind. And the more we grow, the more fruit we bear, or the better quality of fruit we bear. And because the word of God just don't stop with you. It's in your actions. It gets in your advice, your influence, your persuasions. And whatever's in your heart, that's what you're going to talk about. Whatever's in there the most, it's coming out. You can't hide what's in your heart. It's going to be your conversation. And when your love for people, you're going to give them your best knowledge, your best understanding, your best whatever it is. That's what you'll give them. But when you're connected to the Lord, and I've seen the Lord do this, you're drawing strength from Him, and you want to be a blessing to somebody. Well, the Lord, they come to you because they see Christ in you, and they're asking questions. You yield it to the Lord, and He'll cause you to say whatever it is, even if it's beyond your intelligence. He'll cause you to say what's necessary. And that, to me, is priceless. And then I learn sometimes if I'm yielded to the Lord and He calls me to say something, I just learn from it. I'm like, wow, I didn't know that. But I'm saying what God's saying, and it works. It's amazing. It never gets old. It's refreshing. And Fuchsia Pickett wrote something, God's glory revealed in suffering. Now, who wants to suffer? Nobody. But the suffering came as an attack. It's an attack of the enemy. It's the worldly resistance. It can come from whatever, you know, tares teach wheat sometimes. Sometimes people learn wrong. And they don't, if you don't challenge, if something don't fit, if it don't fit Genesis, if it don't fit what God did in the first place, even if you can't tell whether it's right or wrong, it won't fit. You'll feel it won't be that velvety feeling of the peace of God from the Holy Spirit. When people teach something that's just not right, you have a check in your spirit. You may not know how to refute it. You may not know how to expose it for being false. And it may seem true. But wrong teaching always it's an interruption, a check in the spirit. It just don't sit right. And I experienced this a lot when I first started out. And after I became a minister, I said, well, Lord, I don't want to teach people wrong, because it happens. I've researched scriptures and found some things are just not right that people teach. And the same minister may teach something wonderful, but then they might say something that's not true and it don't fit. And eventually you find it. So I was concerned about me teaching somebody wrong, because it take a long time to undo it. And that was a big concern of mine. So I said, Lord, I don't know how to tell when I'm wrong. So my strategy was, I'll just preach what God give me, and I'll study what God give me, I'll research it, I'll preach that, and then I'll shut up. and that's all I was, I stayed within the grace. And if the Lord added to it, so be it, but I wasn't going to come back and turn it around. I've seen people do that. And so one thing that people taught awry God sends suffering to make you grow. Now, this went on for years. I've heard that those type messages for years. God sends, God is behind the suffering to make you grow up. But that was always a check in my spirit. Every message I heard like that, I said, something ain't, that don't sound right. And so one day I said, Lord, do you send people problems to make them grow? He said, problems come from Satan, lack of knowledge, and other people's lack of knowledge. He pointed it out. Those are three avenues that problems arise from. And chiefly Satan. And then our lack of knowledge, and then other people's lack of knowledge. I said, okay, now I knew how to attack this thing. So what I do now, whatever the Lord give me to study, I study that. And I feel my heart in that area. Now, the last 5 years, the Lord has been repeatedly giving me Isaiah and Jeremiah, because he wanted me to understand, this is part of why, he wanted me to understand why people reject God's word. Kind of like the teaching we did this morning. And I, to the pure, everybody's pure. And to those who are high-minded, everybody's high-minded. To those who are thieves, everybody's a thief. You know, but to the pure, you don't think in opposite concepts. But the Lord has to deal with these things. And in my assignment, I have to deal with it to help people get out of it, you know. So I had to study Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. Those are the main books he gave me. And there are more New Testament references in those books than I thought. And those books were written for our admonition, because the same thing that happened, the same spirit that was seducing Israel is trying to seduce the church. And now Christ came and gave us grace and salvation and faith. Because, you know, when we receive salvation, we receive a measure of faith. And that's how we attack the same problems that they had in the first place. So as you're going about doing good, loving God and living according to the Sermon on the Mount and 1 Peter and 1 John, and you're just having a good time in the Lord, here comes slew-footed Satan to hinder you. So she wrote this about the glory of God. She said, page 117. I'm looking at it again. Well, 116, it starts at the bottom of 116. God's glory revealed in suffering. And she said, the glory of God will be revealed in us as we are victorious in the trials we must endure. Paul understood this when he wrote, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And he's right. But the suffering don't come from God, and the suffering don't teach you anything. But when you're challenged, the Holy Spirit can, you're going to seek the Lord, and he can give you wisdom to overcome the challenge. And sometimes people thank God for the suffering because they learned something. But it's really that they're misapplying their gratitude. It goes to the Holy Spirit who guided them through it. Now, there are some things, it's true, some things you're just not going to learn, or you're less apt to learn.